is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Dr. Kathy Burns, and we're going to be talking about her book, The Masonic and Occult Symbols. Dr. Burns, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, now, of course, I think it's so important that the average individual understands that there are symbols out there that are hidden intentionally in plain sight, and the average individual, really, they can look at them, but unless somebody points out what it's about, they really won't recognize that. Isn't that true?
That's very true, and I want to explain, first of all, what a symbol is. Webster tells us that a symbol is something that stands for or suggests something else by reason of relationship, association, convention, or accidental resemblance, especially a visible sign of something invisible, unquote. And this is very important to know, because when we see these symbols, we now know that there's usually a meaning behind what we're actually seeing. And like you so often say, you know, they're hidden in plain sight. Well, there's so many of these symbols or pictures that just have this hidden meaning that there's symbols within symbols. There's many, like buildings or architecture, things like this, that we can find out that there's things hidden by even the numerology that's used in it, like so many feet high or whatever. Sometimes they'll show a symbol that to us looks like perhaps like the archer Daniel's Midland symbol looks like a leaf. But if you look at it more closely, you actually see like a serpent's head with a fang protruding. The Interfaith New Age group Thanksgiving Square out of Dallas, Texas has a picture of a dove, and it looks, you know, it's sort of like a leaf-like circle around it, and it looks sort of like a nice dove. But when you look closer, there's like a hideous demonic face that actually seems to appear in that symbol. And yet this is what the New Age does all the time. They take good-looking symbols to disguise perhaps evil or sinister things that to the natural eye you're not seeing unless someone points out to you.
And, of course, there's so much on television today that really is occult symbology. And people think it's all make-believe. But there really are demonic forces that are working in every aspect of our society, including Hollywood. In fact, sometimes they make even the evil sort of look good. It's not really such a terrible thing. And yet, of course, it is organized. And, of course, you have an organized effort to destroy Christianity. And when you begin to understand that there really is a conspiracy against Christianity today, so much of what's going on really does make sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And even in Hollywood, the witches would use holly wood in their rituals. So the symbolism right there, even in the name, is very important.
Right, and of course this permeates every aspect of our society. And certainly if we go to Washington, D.C., why we find the entire city laid out in Masonic symbology. You can actually track so many of the major cities along the eastern seaboard. They're all in a line. And they were put in that alignment for a very specific spiritual purpose, because so much of what's going on today has a spiritual significance. Unless you recognize that, you really can't understand anything going on. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Kathy Burns and explore some of these amazing facts you're not going to hear expressed or described elsewhere. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dr. Kathy Burns, and she's a prolific writer. We carry a number of her books on the Eastern Star and on the Billy Graham and his friends, and certainly on Masonry. But one of my favorite books that she's written, and certainly one that we've moved an awful lot of, is her book on Masonic and occult symbols. And what people don't understand is that they have occult symbols. You see them every day. They're hidden in plain sight, and you don't recognize them because nobody's ever told you their significance. But the other side, and there really is another side, there really are people who worship a different God, who they make jest of us because they think we're just so foolish that we have no idea what's going on. And, of course, people who talk and describe some of the things we do, why we're, of course, you know, these people have got to be crazy. They've got to be loonies. But if you listen long enough, you may be afraid before long that we're not. Or my good friend John Loeffler says, just because you don't know what's going on in the world doesn't make me a wacko. So pick up the story there, Dr. Burns.
Well, you had mentioned about all the cities being aligned, and there's also one item that's of very important interest to the occultists, and that would be the 77th degree meridian. And, of course, the occultists obviously place a lot of emphasis on numbers, and any number that is doubled to them has a lot more power. So a 7 being denoting the perfection or of God, and then a double 7 or the 77th, just of extreme interest and significance to them. And, of course, this 77th degree longitude, they're calling it God's longitude or God's meridian. And I thought it was very interesting, some of the buildings and sites that are being placed along this meridian. One of them is the White House, which is exactly 13 blocks from the Masonic House of the Temple. The Capitol building is also there. The Washington Monument, which I'd like to talk about a little bit later on in the program. Gettysburg, which was a famous battle site. The Dulles International Airport is on this line. A Washington, D.C. Mormon temple is on this line, and we have to remember that Mormonism was founded by Masons. The Jefferson Memorial, and this building was designed by John Russell Pope. He was the man who also designed the Masonic House of the Temple. We find out that the Council on Foreign Relations, Washington, D.C. office is on this line. DARPA, or the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in Arlington, Virginia, is here. There's even a special spot right at the exact 77th degree meridian that's called Meridian Hill, and that's there. And of course, the one who designed this was Pierre Charles L'Enfant, the one Mason who actually laid out all of Washington, D.C. and to design the architecture there. Arlington National Cemetery.
Hold that thought just a moment. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Kathy Burns. And Dr. Burns has been talking about the importance of the 77th parallel. And, of course, this, of course, is to the occultists. Everything they do has to do with symbology and numerology. And that's why they have built so many things along the 77th parallel. Now, if you say, well, that's just coincidence, let me suggest a wonderful book we carry called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And it's published by HarperCollins, and it goes into the fact that all of the streets in Washington, D.C., the entire outline architecture of Washington, D.C. is occultic. It was based upon astrology. It was based upon Masonic symbology. It was actually laid out by a Mason. Every major building in New York City has a Masonic plaque on it. You couldn't have a cross on that, of course, because that would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. But it's all right to have a Masonic plaque, despite the fact that they worship the great architect of the universe. And it is a symbol of his control over the centers of power in our nation. And the average American has no idea of the influence of Masonry on this country since its very beginning, or the influence that it has today, as we move away from individual freedom towards the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new secular order, or the new order of the ages that President Bush talked about in glowing terms in his second inaugural address in the next to the last chapter, and not one in 100,000 Americans realize the significance of what he said. So pick up the story, Dr. Burns.
Okay, we were listing some of those buildings that were on the 77th degree parallel. Oh, I just finished mentioning about the Arlington National Cemetery, and of course that's where L'Enfant, the one who designed Washington, D.C., is buried. Also, the NASA headquarters is there. Now, I think what's really interesting, NASA has a group called Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Now, that building is not on the 77th Meridian, but it happens to be on Oak Grove Drive. And of course, as you, I'm sure, know that the oak and oak groves were very sacred to the Druids. And this, I believe, was probably intentional for the simple fact that the Jet Propulsion's co-founder was Jack Parson, who was an occultist, and he was selected by Aleister Crowley, the man known as the other Loch Ness Monster, the man who was the wickedest man in the world, really, they claim. He called himself the B666, and he had chosen Jack Parsons to lead the Thelemic movement in California back in 1941 already. And Parson had a magical partner at times who was L. Ron Hubbard, who was the founder of Scientology, another cult and mind control group, and he just happens to be a relative to George W. Bush. So this goes with NASA. And then another building that's on the 77th meridian happens to be the Pentagon. Now, if you remember, it was Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon on the 77th meridian on 9/11. Well, it just happens that the foundation stone for the Pentagon was actually laid in Masonic fashion on September 11th, 1941. Just coincidental, right? The Pentagon happens to be 77 feet in height, and of course, what they're taking from this, with the number 77 to the occultists, they call it the revenge of Lamech. For some reason, they take a verse out of Genesis where Lamech had killed a man, and he took his two wives, and he evidently was bragging to them, and he said, now listen, he said, if Cain was avenged sevenfold, surely I will be avenged 77-fold. So they take this and call the 77th degree parallel the revenge of Lamech. Now, what I find interesting about Lamech, though, is his son was Tubal-Cain. And in Masonry, Tubal-Cain actually is the name of the password for the Master Mason or the Third Degree. And occultist and Mason Manly Palmer Hall said this, quote, when the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mastery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands.
And, of course, that comes from the Lost Keys of Freemasonry. And for those skeptics out there who would like to check it out, we actually carry the book off record. We don't put it in our catalog. But if you call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, you can order the Lost Keys of Freemasonry, where they say, you know, once you have accomplished this, the seething energies of Lucifer will be in your hands. It's so important our people understand what we're really dealing again with, because we're moving rapidly towards a war in the Middle East with Iran and with Syria, which will plunge the whole world into World War III, and millions of my people are going to die. Totally unnecessarily, but you see, the people on the other side cherish this sort of thing. They prolong wars. They do everything they can to make sure they're as bloody and horrible and terrible as they possibly can. That's what, of course, Winston Churchill did during the First World War at Gallipoli. And during the Second World War, we insisted on the invasion of North Africa and Italy, which had no military basis at all. But then, what most people don't understand is that Winston Churchill was a Druid. So pick up the story there, Dr. Burns.
Okay, I'll finish that quote where you just mentioned the energies of Lucifer. It continues, it says, the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may move onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply energy. He must follow in the footsteps of his forefather, Tubal-Cain, who was with the mighty strength of a war god hammered his sword into a plowshare. The end of the quote. But see, he mentions, of course, the seething energies of Lucifer, but he also said they had to follow Tubal-Cain. And like I mentioned, Tubal-Cain was actually the son of Lamech, and this, they credit Lamech, you know, with the revenge of Lamech for the 77. So the correlation goes a lot deeper than most of us would ever have any idea. And of course, the connotation with Tubal-Cain, he's also associated with Vulcan or a fire god, and when Masons want to conceal their membership from non-Masons sometimes, they'll wear a little pin that's called the Tubal-Cain, and it's sort of a pun, and it's a dirty pun. In fact, they're given a play on the male reproductive organ, as well as giving the name Tubal-Cain to the fellow Masons. But again, the non-Mason will not understand this. They'll just see this little, like it almost looks like an upside-down golf club on a pin or a tie tack or something. Now, returning to the Pentagon, you're mentioning the war and all. Pentagon is the number five. And five is associated with death or perhaps bloodshed and war. So this is important, too. And we find out that the Pentagon was actually laid out so that it points toward the White House at a 33rd degree angle. very coincidental again. And the person who actually specified the location for this, or for the situation of the Pentagon, happened to be Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a 33rd degree Mason. And of course, like I've mentioned, the foundation was laid on September 11, 1941. And in correlation to the 9/11 yet, I might add that on September 11, 1826, Captain William Morgan was abducted by the Masons for revealing their secrets. And then, of course, there was also a Mountain Metal Massacre, which occurred on September 11th in 1857, and that was instigated by Mormons, whose founder and many other leaders were Masons. So the correlations are really there. People may think we're reading into this, but you can check the facts out. They're there, and everything correlates just beautifully according to the occultist perspective.
And they know exactly what they're doing. This is their whole life. It's all about numerology. It's all about these relationships. It's all about the symbols, such as the symbols they placed on the back of the dollar bill, and they really place so many places. We see them every day, and we have no idea what they're talking about.
That's right. And then the Washington Monument is one of these others that are on this parallel. And, of course, this has so much occult symbolism embedded to it, too. First of all, it's an obelisk shape. And, of course, an obelisk is really a four-sided pillar whose top ends in a pyramid. Well, pyramid has to do with fire. Pur or purging, purim, you know, words like this come from the fire. And pillars have always been worshipped as gods. In Egypt, the obelisk stood for the sun god. And there's a New Age magazine. In fact, it is called New Age magazine. It was the name of the Scottish Rite Journal before they changed it. And there was an article written in there, one of the issues, by Henry Evans, a 33rd degree Mason. And he said that Osiris, the god of the underworld, was depicted in the form of a pillar. Some occultists actually believe that the sun god Ra embeds or embodies this obelisk. In a book called Numbers, Their Occult Power and Mystic Virtues, we find that the lingam, or the male sex organ, was an upright pillar. In our phallic heritage, we're told, quote, all pillars or columns originally had a phallic significance and were therefore considered sacred, unquote. Pan, the goat god, and goddess sensuality was often depicted as this obelisk. And there's a former witch, David Meyer, and he tells us this about the obelisk. He says, quote, the obelisk is a long pointed four-sided shaft, the uppermost portion of which forms a pyramid. The word obelisk literally means Baal's shaft or Baal's organ of reproduction. This should be especially shocking when we realize that we have a gigantic obelisk in our nation's capital known as the Washington Monument, unquote. And of course we know from the Bible, whenever the children of Israel would forsake God, they turn to worshiping idols. And of course one of these idols happened to be the pillars or the obelisk. And he warns them in Leviticus 26:20, he said, you shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall we set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. And of course, they were told that when they went into the pagan nations, they were to overthrow their altars and break down their pillars and, you know, get rid of their graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. And what do? We turn around and build one right in our capital city.
But of course, very, very few people really realized what was happening when they laid out the architecture of our nation's capital. And very few people even today realize, of course, the occult significance to the way everything is laid out. And this is why we try to let people understand there were two forces here at America's beginning. One was the strong Christian, but the other was the hidden occult. And of course, the purpose behind the occult was one day to take control of our nation and to use our financial and military power to bring about a one world government, or as George Bush referred to it in his second inaugural speech, the new order of the ages. That's what it's all about. The new order of the ages is coming, but it's going to come, of course, on the wings of chaos. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns, and pick the story up there, Kathy.
Okay, not only is the Washington Monument the obelisk, and it's not only is the obelisk, but it's built on the 77th meridian, but it also stands in perfect line to the intersecting point to form the Masonic Square, and it stretches from the House of the Temple to the Capitol building. And of course, within this hypotenuse of that right triangle sits many of the headquarter buildings for our government, like the Justice Department, U.S. Senate, the Internal Revenue Service. Buildings like this are right there within this extreme power line or whatever to the occultists. And we find that the Washington Monument is actually 555 feet high. Now, in witchcraft and masonry, any number triple would really have extra power. And as I mentioned earlier, five is the number of death. And I also think it's interesting because when you take the 555 feet and you multiply it by 12 to get your number of inches, you come out with 6,660 inches. Also, when you add the 5, 5, and 5, which they do in occult numerology, you come up to 15, and they always take the numbers and come back down to the one digit, which would be 1 plus 5 would be a 6. And, of course, we know 6 is another sacred occult number to them. The capstone on this building happens to weigh 3,300 pounds. Of course, 33 being the number of degrees in masonry. The monument's construction was authorized by an act of Congress in 1833, which is another 33, and they didn't start building this until 1848, so that was a long time between, but there's your 15 again, your 3 5s. The stewardship of the monument happened to be transferred then to the National Park Service in 1933, another 33. There are 897 steps into the building, or inside the building, and 897 happens to be a multiple of 13, 13 being a sacred number in the occult. And there's another Mason by the name of Paul Foster Case, and he wrote a book called The Great Seal of the United States. And in that book he says, quote, since the date 1776 is placed on the bottom course of the pyramid, and since the number 13 has been so important in the symbolism of the seal, it is not unreasonable to suppose that the 13 courses of the pyramid may represent 13 time periods of 13 years each. Unquote. And it's really amazing if you look over the history of our country from 1776, and again the 7 and a 6 comes out to 13, we can find that every 13 years from that point on, something very world-changing or whatever happened. Of course, 1776 was our Declaration of Independence, the American Revolution. 13 years later was the French Revolution and the adoption of the U.S. Constitution and the Great Seal. In 13 more years, 1802, Washington, D.C. was incorporated. And we go all the way up to 1945 when we had the United Nations come in. So again, not only is it just in numbers and in the architecture with the symbols, with the, like the obelisk, you know, that is a symbol, the 555, the height is a symbol, but even in the 13 and the years come out to symbolism for the occult. They plan these things because they do have a purpose and a goal in mind. And it's like you said, it's to bring in that new world order.
And of course, for the average individual, they'll say, well, this is just all coincidence. But when you read a book by, published by HarperCollins about the occult architecture of our nation's capital, and all the occultists understand it. It's just that the average American has never heard what we're saying today. We'll be right back. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns. And, of course, Dr. Burns has simply been outlining some of the amazing coincidences. But are they simply coincidences? Is there a pattern here? Is everything really following a pattern? Have you ever wondered why, as an American, why we have troops in between 130 and 140 nations? Why, 60 years after the Second War ended, we still have troops occupying Germany? I mean, aren't they there to defend us against the communists? I thought the communists were our friends now. Why do we still have troops occupying Germany and Japan 60 years after the Second World War and Korea 50 years after the Second World War? And oh, it's those wicked communists, but people have forgotten. We actually helped to finance the North Koreans for a long period of time until recently with massive humanitarian aid. So maybe there's another reason. Maybe they're not telling the American people. There really are people who want an American empire to be used to bring about this one world government. Do you think that's possible, Dr. Burns?
Well, I certainly think so. And we realize that it appears in so many ways that our own president's going against our nation. I mean, turning the ports over to the United Arab Emirates, You know, things like this would seem like it would be against what he supposedly is saying with his mouth. I'm here to protect you.
And Christopher,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the fact he refuses, steadfastly refuses to, to seal our borders, steadfastly refuses to enforce federal law to take action against employers who are employing illegal aliens, and because many of our major corporations are doing that. I mean, there are about 20 million, at least, this is the government figure, illegal aliens in this country. And if you employ one, it's a federal crime, but they don't enforce those laws. Why? Because they really want, of course, illegal immigration. They want a multicultural, multilingual society. They really want to merge America with Mexico and Canada and the whole Western Hemisphere as a stepping stone to merging us together into a world government. That's why they want a multilingual society. And when you call the phone company or somebody else, they say, do you want this message in English or in Spanish? They don't want people to have to learn English. They want, of course, to destroy the culture of our society, but they can't tell the public that. They can't tell the leaders of both the people that the leaders of both political parties loyally is not to America, but to this globalist dream. Would that be correct?
That's right. And as far as these ports, maybe something that has to do with this is that the UAE happened to have given $1 million to the George Bush Library or the foundation. Maybe that's why they're getting some control over the ports. And not only that, you've probably heard about the 7,000 Russian Arabs that we're going to bring over here and pay, and that we're going to give them citizenship. These are things that an average American cannot comprehend, because it looks like our country's being taken down, and it is. But with this global plan in mind, this fits everything. And when you realize that many of the leaders, not only here in America, but in other countries, belong to secret societies, belong to the Masons or Rosicrucians or whatever, and that they meet together and plan. And when even when outcome-based education was first coming out and the news was coming, we thought we were the only country, and lo and behold, we find out Australia was, I guess, even ahead of us, and other countries were doing it. You're saying, how could this be global? But the reason is, there is a global plan for these things.
And of course, part of the plan is to impoverish our people. That's why they're shipping our jobs, our factories, our wealth overseas. And of course, isn't it wonderful that we can actually cut taxes and increase spending? How can you do that? Well, the reason you do it is because you want to destroy the financial stability of this country and impoverish our people. When you understand that, you understand they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the people to understand that they're condemning their children to slavery, and of course, converting America from a first world to a third world country. They know what they're doing. And it's amazing the American people can't see that, because it seems so incredible. Why our leaders wouldn't do that, or would they?
That's right. It does seem incredible, and the thing is, too, it's just so gradual. We lose one little freedom, and we sort of say, well, we wish we wouldn't have lost that, but we can live with it. And then we take another one. If it would have happened overnight, we would have screamed. But it's just so gradual. But this is the plan. In fact, that's one of their things. It's called gradualism. They want to do it gradually, that we don't even notice.
And, of course, they're really in the process, step by step, of eroding our freedom. Of course, in the name of fighting that wicked Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave over there in Pakistan, or maybe he's living in Iran, or... they know where he's living. They're just not going to try to get him. Why haven't we tried to get Osama bin Laden? It's over 4 years since the war on terrorism began, and why can't we find Osama bin Laden? I mean, we have satellites up there. They can see everything going on, and they're watching everything. They're even watching your yard to make sure you're not, building any additions onto your house. But we can't find Osama bin Laden. Oh, shucks. Well, maybe next year, or the year after that, or... And each time, as long as he's out there, we lose more and more freedom. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns. And Kathy, pick up the story.
Well, I mentioned we were talking about founding our country. When we first, well, it's not first, but in 1784, Thomas Jefferson decided to devise a system for laying out townships, and it was called the Rectangular Survey. And what it would do would it consisted of adjoining tracts of land 6 miles square, which I thought was interesting, 6 by 6, obviously. And what they did, they actually took these sections and then they divided them into 6 by 6, and they numbered each section from 1 to 36. But you'd have these 36 sections. And when I looked at that, I just decided to play around a little bit, and I added 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4. And lo and behold, when you add from 1 to 36, you get 666. So actually, the signature of 666 is even on our land layout from the United States. And that's pretty well a law. It was adopted by Congress, I believe, back in the early 1800s. I believe it was 1805. So this is basically how our townships are being laid out, is on this 666 basis.
And really, it's amazing how often they will use that number. For instance, the World Future Society, and you find people like Barbara Marx Hubbard and Robert Strange McNamara, and of course Marie Strong, certainly one of the most powerful men working behind the scenes at our society, all of the board of directors of the World Future Society, and until recently, why their emblem, their logo was a, well, what was it, Kathy? I know you know.
Well, it's a triskel, which is basically a three-legged swastika, which is a 666. There's three sixes right in there.
666. They knew exactly what they were doing. And, of course, when we began talking about it, why, suddenly they changed their logo. But these emblems are every place, once you begin to know how frequently they use that number 666. They understand that is the number of the beast. That's what Aleister Crowley called himself, the beast. 666.
Right, and some other organizations that actually incorporate this 666 symbology would be the Department of Defense, the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, the Department of Transportation, the Brook Ridge Institute, and the Trilateral Commission.
The Trilateral Commission. Isn't it interesting that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who established the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller, picked a logo with 666 in the logo?
It's very amazing, isn't it?
What a coincidence.
All the time. One thing after another just has all these. And there's recently, I don't know if you've noticed or if you have it out there, but the BP gas, the British Petroleum, they've recently changed their logo, and they told us right out. I was wondering, somebody said, oh, have you seen the new logo?
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns. And Dr. Burns has written some wonderful, wonderful books, and we do carry many of them here. And Kathy, before I go on, do you have a website or anything you'd like people to go to?
I have no website, no. They can get the books through you.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we do carry a number of books by Dr. Burns. If you have one of our catalogs, so get up on our internet site. But the book we're talking about today, why, is entitled Masonic and Occult Symbols, and it's really, it's just, oh, I don't know, what are the 600 or 700 of these hidden symbols you have listed there?
There's over 700 pictures in the book, yeah.
And of course, Dr. Burns was talking about this, the 666, and how this is used, how many organizations use the 666, one of them being the Trilateral Commission. And the Trilateral Commission was formed by Zbigniew Brzezinski at the behest of David Rockefeller. And, of course, its purpose is to bring about a one-world government under a ruling elite. And isn't it just a coincidence that their logo is, if you look at it closely, you'll see 666. So pick up the story there.
Okay, I was mentioning about the new logo for the British Petroleum. And what it really is, it used to be more like a shield or whatever, and now they took it, and it's sort of like a lotus flower, and there's 18 leaves on it, or 18 petals there. And, of course, 18 is a hidden 666, at least to the occultist. And so when I was looking into the symbol a little more, I just wonder if they'll tell us what the symbol actually means. And you get on to their website, and it says it was named the Helios mark after the sun god of ancient Greece. And they go on then to tell how the new logo, you know, combines the different oils and gas and the solar and all that into one. And that's why. But they'll tell you right out. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're just saying, this here, you know, is the Helios mark from the sun god. And, of course, like I mentioned, there are 18 petals. So we are just completely, completely inundated with paganism. We're going back to paganism.
And, of course, British Petroleum is largely, at least, the royal family of Great Britain has its large holdings in British Petroleum, just as the Dutch royal family has large holdings in Royal Dutch Petroleum. And those, I mean, there are only really about five major corporations in the world. We've got our Rockefeller-controlled corporations over here, and British Petroleum, which is British Crown and British government-owned, and then, of course, we've got Royal Dutch Petroleum, and there we have the Royal Dutch family, and they all interlock into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Go right ahead.
That's right. This is, again, your global economy. It's just globally. It's not just one little area anymore. It's worldwide. And the more you learn, the more you can see how blatant they're getting. And then there's the DARPA. As I mentioned, that this year they had a group, we've talked about this before, but I guess it will be okay to mention it again. They have a group called the Information Awareness Office that was under DARPA. And their logo happens to be, well, it was, they removed it now, like they have some of the other logos. But it's basically a circle, and inside that, of course, is the all-seeing eye of Horus, or Lucifer, hovering over an unfinished pyramid of 13 layers of stone.
That's it's this symbol you see on the back of the dollar bill, the occult symbol that of the pyramid and the all-seeing eye. But then what's happening with that?
Well, what they're after this with the all-seeing eye, then it shows this light radiating over basically the Middle East area. So it looks like the whole world, not just the United States, is actually being watched. You know, this is the idea that that seems to be conveyed to this logo. And then I thought what was interesting was in there is a Latin phrase that means knowledge is power. Well, of course, the one who's credited with giving this phrase happened to be Sir Francis Bacon from 1605. And, of course, as you know, some people consider Bacon to be the actual founding father of America. And so I thought that the use of this phrase was, you know, quite intriguing. Also, the acronym formed by Information Awareness Office is IAO. And this is very interesting to me because the sun god, and again, here's your all-seeing eye, your radiation, your light, it goes together. The sun god, Baal, or Bel, happened to be called IAO. And in the pagan religions of Hinduism, we also see this trinity of gods, which would be Brahma the creator, Vishnu the preserver, and Shiva the destroyer. Masonic writer author Edward Waite tells us this: Shiva is the Babylonian Bel, identical with the sun god IAO. So therefore, this acronym formed by the name of this Bush administration office is really an old pagan name for the sun god. And of course, to me, you know, I can understand then why they actually have this sun and its rays, you know, coming out from this symbol. Also, another occultist is Israeli Regardian. He says this, quote, "The final analysis of the key word sums up the formula with the initials I, Isis, A, Apophis, O, Osiris, I-A-O, the supreme god of the Gnostics. Since the sun is the giver of life and light, the formula must refer to light as the Redeemer. The order was predicated on the age-old process of bringing light to the natural man. In other words, it taught a psycho-spiritual technique leading to illumination, to enlightenment," unquote. Now, in Gnosticism, IAO represents Jupiter, and Satanist Aleister Crowley says that IAO is cabalistically identical with that of the beast and his number 666. So that he who invokes the former also invokes the latter. And, of course, DARPA doesn't even stop with this IAO organization, but in 1999 they awarded a $6.6 million grant to Isis Pharmaceuticals. And that was, of course, to help give countermeasures for biological warfare defense, they said. Now, that logo happens to be the pyramid. And Masonic author R.H. McKenzie says this about a pyramid, quote, "The right-angled triangle was also regarded as an important figure. Among the Egyptians, the base represented Osiris, or the male principle, the perpendicular Isis, or the female principle, and the hypotenuse Horus, their son, the prodigy," unquote. And John Yarker is another Mason. He says basically the same thing. Now, remember what we talked about earlier was that layout at Federal triangle in Washington, D.C. That is in the right angle. And therefore, all this here, you know, it represents these pagan gods again. Of course, on the press release for this ISIS announcement was not only a pyramid, but a left eye. And of course, in the occult, the triangle represents ISIS, but so does the left eye. The right eye would represent Osiris. And if there's an eye that you can't tell if it's either right or left, that would be Horus. So all their symbolism points to their name of ISIS. Not only that, we have to realize that in the occult, ISIS was a sorcerer. And, of course, this here grant that DARPA gave was to ISIS Pharmaceutical. And the Greek word for pharmacy is pharmakia, or means sorcery. So, again, the correlation between ISIS, the pharmacy, and the sorcery. Not only did they give the awards to this ISIS Pharmaceutical, they also have funding research for a group called Institute for Software Integrated Systems. It just happens to be ISIS for short. There's another group they gave out. Well, this here systems, this ISIS systems here, DARPA's Paul Benda, he says this about that. Quote, "We will apply this technology to track people emerging from buildings of interest and follow them as they move to new locations. Imagine the impact it will have if ISIS tracks the movement of individuals for months. Hidden webs of communications between people and facilities will be revealed," unquote. So, of course, that logo with an eye watching the world seems very intentional.
And, in fact, it's so interesting. It goes along with this whole idea of Lucent Technology. It's an interesting name. And, of course, their headquarters is in New York. And I've forgotten the name of the street, but the street number is 666.
Very interesting. And, of course, DARPA, like we mentioned earlier, is on a 77th-degree parallel. So, again, is it all coincidence? You can't have this many coincidences. You just couldn't.
Now, of course, the people on the other side know exactly the significance of it, and they laugh at us because we're so foolish we can't see it.
That's right. And then there's NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They just happen to have 26 countries, which are members. Of course, 26 happens to be 13 doubled, which, again, it could be coincidental, but you have to wonder. Now, their logo is actually a four-pointed star, and according to the Dictionary of Mysticism, we find that the tetragram is a magic diagram consisting of a four-pointed star, and it's actually symbolic of the four elements, which, of course, is used in the occult, and it's used to conjure up elementary spirits. So this symbol that they're using actually can bring forth demonic spirits, and the occultists know this, and they know what symbols to use. Now, in addition to the four-pointed star, there's something I thought was of interest, because when you get onto their website or you see their logo, not only do they have the letters NATO spelled out, they actually show you the mirror image and they write it backwards as O-T-A-N. Now, as you know, black magicians and Satanists and all often spell and write backwards. They're taught to recite perhaps the Lord's Prayer backwards or to walk backwards. They do everything backwards. So why would you put your name in a mirror image like this? It's just very, curious. And David Meyer, who I quoted earlier, he says this. He was a former witch. And he says, quote, "The strange word Oten is the mirror image spelling of NATO, but witches would recognize the word Oten as the four representatives of the serpent deity. In the word Oten, the O represents Ouroboros, the world serpent that circles the earth and is sometimes coiled in the earth's womb. The T represents Tot, who is the ancient Phoenician name for the same world serpent, which is seen in symbology as a serpent with its tail in its mouth. The A represents Abaddon, the serpent of the Delphic oracle, or spirit of the pit. The N represents Nagus, the serpent people of mystic knowledge," unquote. Now, besides this four-pointed star, the logo seems to have a possible hidden symbolism, because if you look really closely at it or blacken out the white part, it actually looks like there could possibly be a right-leaning swastika in there. And, of course, the swastika, again, was used as a sun symbol. And all these things happened because Lucifer is the god of light. So they dwell on their symbology with light and Lucifer. And even in reference to ley lines, that word ley comes from light illumination. everything is based on their light, but it's the false light. If only people could see the true light and turn to Christ, we'd be so much better off.
Well, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about ley lines, because the average listener has never heard of a ley line. They don't even know what the term is, and yet these are energy lines in our country, and basically many of our cities are laid out on ley lines right along with many of these occult, monuments like the Stonehenge in England. That's on the same ley line as many of our cities. So why don't you just pick that story up?
Well, the ley lines are supposed to be special alignments, like you just mentioned. It's usually like holy places or ancient sites such as stone circles. And, of course, like I just mentioned, the word ley is related to light illumination. And in Middle English, the word L-E-A was really a pasture land or a meadow that was open to the sun, and therefore, at times, would be drenched with light. And, of course, Stonehenge definitely was laid out on one of these ley lines, and that's where the druid and your occult rituals, have been held. And the person who actually popularized the interest in ley lines was Alfred Watkins. He had associated the ley lines with the Greek god Hermes. Again, we're going back to paganism and gods. This has nothing to do with just plain nature or God's layout or anything. I mean, they put everything into the pagan terminology, and he associated the ley lines with Hermes, who was known as Mercury in Rome, or in Norway he'd be called Woden. And of course Hermes was the winged messenger god of communication and boundaries, and he'd be the one that would lead souls to the dead, or souls to hell, basically to the underworld. And some of these spots that are the particular spots were really these lines of power when the people really learned about them. It was in a novel by the occultist Diane Fortune. It was in 1936 when she mentioned her novel was called The Goatfoot God. Very interesting title, isn't it, for a book? And some of these cities where a lot of our battles were fought would be like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C. There's also Sedona, Arizona, which is supposed to be a very hot spot for occult energy, and then, of course, Stonehenge. So all these were laid out on the same, that these are running straight lines. And for some reason, the occultists say that there's a power across these straight lines like this, or these lines of energy.
And Chris, a lot of this sounds so bizarre. How could this possibly be going on? I mean, how could this sort of thing be going on in this country and nobody knows about it? And yet, every major building in Washington, D.C. has a Masonic plaque on it. And certainly, we see the architecture there laid out very specifically. And this is not only in the United States, it's all throughout the world. Because Masonry is an international organization, but Masonry is not alone in this. They're really over in San Jose, and if people who live close to where I do, they can go to San Jose and see the Rosicrucian Temple there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are centers for the Theosophists in Ojai, California, and back in Wheaton. And these are parallel occult organizations. And, of course, you can go to the Philosophical Research Society in Southern California, where Manly P. Hall, held and gave lectures, 8,000 lectures there over a period of 50 or 60 years. This is an occult center. These people permeate every aspect of our life. And they are planning, to bring us into World War III. Nothing going on really makes sense. Why, in heaven's name, would we want to go to war with Iran when, I mean, the country right next to them, Pakistan, has nuclear weapons. The country to the east of them, China, has nuclear weapons. And the country just to the north of them, Russia, has nuclear weapons. So why do we want to go to war with Iran? Why? Because they want a war. And when you understand that, it makes sense. If you're looking for logic, it's not there.
That's right. It's not there. But they try to control countries one at a time until they break them. Some of these countries are a little backwoodsy, or they're not going along with the World Order plan, and they do this as a lesson to teach them that anybody who fights us will be devastated. And they'll bring them under their control, and they'll stop at nothing. And that could be a form of their sacrifice, too. Now, as you mentioned, the buildings, and, well, a lot of our buildings, even churches, are laid in Masonic fashion. And see, what happens many times, and I'll bring this in with sacrifice in just a moment, what happens is most of these cornerstones are laid, and when they do this in Masonic fashion, they actually use corn, wine, and oil. But what most people, in fact probably even most Masons themselves, do not know is that when the pagans would want to take a land, they'd actually sacrifice a living being. And eventually, over time, they decided to give food instead of a living sacrifice. What war will be that living sacrifice?
All right, well, we're out of time. Our guest today has been Dr. Kathy Burns. Her book we've been talking about, of course, is Occult and Masonic and Occult Symbols, and I think it's a very important a publication that will give you tremendous documentation on things you need to know. We live in two worlds. We live in the materialistic world, but there's a spiritual world out there, and there's spiritual forces, both for good and for bad. Dr. Burns, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, and God bless you.
I do, too. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and for those of you who are out there in the listening audience, you say, I really can't believe this sort of thing could go on. Well, you really ought to go up on the Internet and pull down the DARPA the DARPA symbol. And if you can't get it, we do have copies of it that was there. And basically, it shows you the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And then, of course, you see the pyramid, the unfinished pyramid, the glorified eye and the triangle over that. And then you can see the eye looking out over the world. And the symbology is very, very clear. I mean, the eye of Lucifer is, of course, dominating and watching the world in preparation for taking over. And then knowledge is power. What they really were talking about is the DARPA was going to begin watching and monitoring everybody in America. And they are actually collecting dossiers on everybody. And if you doubt that sort of thing really goes on, that the military is collecting dossiers, why, I would suggest you get a book written in 2003 by Dr. General William Odom. And he, of course, was in charge of NSA for many years before he retired. And in his book, Fixing Intelligence, and if you want to just see the pages, we'd be glad to send them to you. He talks about, you know, he really can't tell you what's going on, but he can ask you questions like, should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have journalists planted within the media in the United States? And those things are... He's not going to tell you that. He can't. But he certainly knows what's going on. And with so many patriotic military people, they're very concerned that we're moving away from a free society towards a dictatorship. And now, of course, under the guise of fighting terrorism, a war on terrorism, why, of course, they want to expand the power of government to spy. But they're not just spying on the terrorists. I mean, if we were trying to really stop terrorism... Why, of course, we could at any time. We know who all these terrorists are. All of these terrorist organizations are infiltrated. We have professional and paid informers, both ourselves and the other intelligence agencies. They're using this to spy on the American people. And they're saying, oh, we have to have, you know, this right to do it, to spy on the terrorists. No. I mean, they've already been spying on the terrorists. They want to justify what they've been doing for many, many years. And that is spying on the American people illegally. We have a great book. It's called Big Brother is Watching You. It goes into Project Echelon, which for 20 or 30 years has been monitoring all of your telephone calls and all of your emails and all of your fax. And you can get material off the Internet, or I suggest our book, Big Brother is Watching, an excellent analysis of what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio, by Internet, by shortwave, 4 hours a day, 9 hours a day on satellite. We need your help. And, of course, if you have people, you know, who don't have any means of getting us, they can always get us by satellite, and the dish and the receiver are very inexpensive. That's Telstar 5, and we want to get as many people listening by one means or another. And we don't know how long we're going to be able to continue using, you know, what we have in the past. I mean, there are people who do not want the truth to get out. The last thing they want is for the American people to understand we're being manipulated into World War III, and many of your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters are going to die, And I fear that there's going to be terrible repercussions here in America when we inflame the entire Islamic world when we attack Iran. And everything points that this is exactly what they're doing. They don't want a peaceful solution. They want war. And they want an excuse for war. And I believe that's why we went into Iraq. It certainly wasn't because Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Saddam had worked with our CIA for many years and was no threat to the United States. It wasn't for oil because they have less oil production. It wasn't to protect Israel. Israel's in worse shape than they've ever been. And it certainly wasn't because, of course, he was selling his oil in dollars. All of the excuses are given, but I believe the real reason we need a base for the coming war with Iran. And when you understand that, why, you can understand that everything that has happened has been planned for a long, long time. And we've actually covered this in some of our past discussions, and perhaps we'll do it in a future discussion. We did it the other day with Dr. Dennis Cuddy, as he went into all of the books that were written long ago talking about World War III, the one that's coming. So understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. We recommend Dr. Burns' book, Masonic and Occult Symbols. We recommend my DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get it in DVD or video. And you, of course, need to get the book with it. You can get it by itself. But the book, of course, will give you the documentation for everything I say, where you can go and check it out, the writings of these people who say, in all intents and purposes, this is all about Luciferianism, about worship of Lucifer. What a great guy he really is. That's what Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky says in her book, The Secret Doctrine. And then, of course, we want you, many of you, to get the new DVD that Chris Pinto just put out, and that's in called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. And of course, we have his other videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, excellent. My talk on planned population reduction, because this impacts on everybody. There really are people who want to injure you and your children, and of course many children have developed autism or asthma or all sorts of diseases unnecessarily, and the other side knows exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know that they relish hurting children. Planned population reduction, it's either DVD or video. Very important for you to have. And then, of course, you need to get our material on vaccinations. Should you have your children vaccinated? Is this a good idea? Is this going to make them stronger and prevent them from getting diseases? Well, you need to get our 4-tape set on autism. You need to get our 4-tape set on mercury. We have all of this information. We've compiled so that you will have it available so you can speak intelligently on what's going on. You really need to get Dr. Russell Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there live. You can listen to them archive. You can listen to them on MP3. We don't charge you because we want you to get the information. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.